T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We will not be using any type of franchise or transition tag on Le'Veon Bell. You know, we looked at the different aspects of things, and quite honestly, the production from that position, the collective running backs this year, was pretty good. Le'Veon is still a great player, but we can't afford to use any type of tag with the other needs that we have, and I did use the word need.
Brought to you by Waynesburg University. Grow your career with knowledge, grace, and service. Learn more at waynesburg.edu. Mark Caboli was in on that Kevin Colbert 35-minute Q&A today. Mark, was there an off-the-record portion that we haven't had a chance to listen to that was for guys like you and Colony?
No, the only off-the-record stuff was right at the beginning when we sat down and Kevin looked at Ed Bouchette and said, wow, Ed, I'm surprised to see you actually made it.
Ooh, a burn.
Wow.
I like that.
About it.
Well, I guess it's on the record now. Take
Starting
that, Ed.
Starting with zingers.
Let me ask you this, Mark. What you heard today on Le'Veon Bell, did it sound to you like this is something that the Steelers vacillated on and really weighed pros and cons, or do you think it was a pretty easy decision to not tag him?
Well, I think they thought about it for a while. Then they really dug into it. And I think the $14.5 million potential tag that was associated with it, other than the $9 million they would have had to fight back and forth with the NFLPA, I think that actually pushed it over the edge a little bit and said, hey, what are we doing here? Let's just get done with this and forget about it. It's just going to take too much of our time, and we could get zapped on the back end of it if we have to match it or anything like that. Let's just move on. I find it interesting in how he actually framed it, as in he compared Le'Veon's numbers with the three running backs of this year and said that actually the three running backs this past year put up better numbers than him. So, I mean, when it's all said and done, it probably would have ended up this way anyways. So they just probably said, forget about it. Let's just move on, and let's be one less headache right now to worry about.
Mark, I thought the same thing, though, when I heard him talk about this year's running back stable, because, and I want to hear if you agree with this or not, I think they're kind of putting way too much stock in both the health and the production of all of those guys, or whatever kind of committee they put back there next year when they make this kind of value judgment.
Yeah, the thing is that you can't really look at it right now because the running back position is pretty deep in the draft, so they might address it there. I'm pretty sure they're going to address some issues of the running back in free agency, maybe somebody a veteran type of guy. So I don't think they're just going to really place it on James Conner, Jalen Samuels. I really, truly believe they want a veteran in this locker room to be able to maybe mentor those guys and be able to, if you need to have 150 carries a season, be able to do that. So I think he might have somebody else in mind free agency-wise to bring in to help that total roster out. But, yeah, I mean, Connor has never been healthy since I couldn't even tell you when. It had to be what? His junior, sophomore year?
The last time he was healthy was when he won the ACC Player of the Year.
Yeah, the 20-some touchdowns or whatever when he was a different running back. And Jalen Samuels' sample size is just so small, I don't think you can really determine anything off of that. But, yeah, I think the health standpoint of James Conner has to be an issue, even though this past year was really nothing he could have do about it because it was the ankle. The years previous when he had, the shoulder injury and the hamstring injury, that stuff that you get worried about, I don't think they're very concerned because of the ankle, because it's really nothing you can do. But yeah, but definitely going into this season, his health is obviously critical of what they want to do.
Mark Caboli joining us, The Athletic. Check him out. He's got an article not only on the Colbert stuff from today, but one on Antonio Brown and what he might fetch in a trade, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. In the last few minutes, CBS Sports, Jason Lockenfort tweeted out that Bell is seeking $50 million in the first 2 years of the deal. Mark, there's a lot of crazy money available in free agency, so teams do have money to set on fire. Do you think there will be a big market for Bell? Will he get what he wants in free agency?
That's 50 million. What'd you say over the first 2 years?
Yep.
That's pretty out there. I think he might be setting the bar extremely high and hopefully to work his way down a little bit. I'm not saying that he's not going to get paid because I do think he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid maybe closer to what he thinks he's worth, and he's not. But that $50 million over 2 years, especially now when you have a couple of things you can go to him and say, wait, you're not worth it. Look at the running backs around the league right now who are successful. We can find one really anywhere. You know, that's the case too. You haven't played in a year. You're a failed drug test away from being suspended. I think all of that will end up pushing down the money a little bit, but that first day, he's going to sign. I think it's going to be a number where you say, wow, I didn't think he was going to be that much, but $50 million, I think that's just a little bit ridiculous.
Mark, I'll hold off on the AB stuff for one more question here.
Thank you.
Well, I was glad to see what you wrote on that subject after what I said on the air yesterday about it, but what did you make of Kevin Colbert pretty emphatically endorsing Ben Roethlisberger's leadership style and leadership qualities and primacy in that locker room?
Yeah, he came in with an agenda today, and I'm talking about Colbert because that was unprompted. He had an opening statement, so to speak, that lasted probably 15 of those minutes, and he directly went in to everything related to Ben and his leadership, and he, you know, pointed out some specific things that you know that he has. He's quite aware of what's being said about it, how it's being framed about it. I'm sure he obviously said that he's okay with, you know, calling guys out publicly. I think a lot of that has to do with trying to realize, you know, basically that's your one superstar left right now. I'm sure in public they would like him to be a little bit more quiet. But at this point right now, when you're losing Le'Veon, you're losing Antonio Brown, more than likely, you're going to have to rely on one guy. And I thought it was quite interesting where he said, you know, it's a lot to put on Ben to be this leader, but you need some other guys to step up. It almost reminds me of Jim Rutherford when they, you know, acquired Jack Johnson. Mm. Hey, we got to bring leadership, a little bit more leadership to this. You're thinking, wait a second, what about these other leaders in this locker room? And I take that as a little bit of a challenge to guys like, you know, the Castro, Pouncey. I mean, Hayward's top guy. I mean, that guy, if he's not one of the main leaders in all of the league, I'm surprised because that's how he just approaches things. So it might have been just a wake-up call to some of these guys who are 6, 7, 8 years in the league saying, hey, man, this guy needs some help, so you better do the things you need to do to help some of these younger guys as well.
Mark, not sticking to football, which I'm more than okay with.
You like the Jack Johnson one,
yeah.
Huh?
Mark, do you think Kevin Colbert listens to the Ben Roethlisberger show?
I think somebody does. I'm pretty sure that somebody at one point would listen to it.
Like, you think the Scarpinos of the world, the media relations flunkies were assigned to it, so to speak?
I don't even know if the flunkies were. I wouldn't be surprised if the main guy was. I'm talking about Bert.
Oh.
Because he's basically the Ben Roethlisberger handler, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy. But shouldn't you be answering that question when you know better than me since you were there with his show for 4 or 5 years?
I never got a text from Kevin about it. I'm not on speed dial with him. He's in Chris's Rolodex because they're both North Catholic alums.
When I did that Ben story on his radio show a couple months ago, Ben said, I know people used to listen to it in that building, but they don't do that anymore. Oh. I don't know quite sure what that meant. He didn't expand.
If I were Mike Tomlin, I'd be listening because the press conference happens right after.
I think he might have been referring to Todd Haley because he wasn't around anymore. I'm not quite sure. He wouldn't elaborate.
All right, Mark. Well,
let's get to the big one.
Let's get to AB here because I was heartened after going on the air yesterday, and I don't know when your story posted on The Athletic. I swear I didn't see it to formulate my argument on the air, but I still thought just more than anything because it only takes one and because Brown is such a uniquely gifted player and productive player, they still might get a one for him. Then I read what you wrote, where you kind of lay out a much more detailed case, and I feel even better about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much talent in that wide receiver market. The only thing to combat that is there's a ton of talent in the receiver market in the draft. But if you're looking for somebody now, I mean, not only does it only take one team, but you got about what here? 3-4 weeks until the drop dead date. As long as 84 stays off the social media, all of a sudden it fades a little bit, and I do believe, and all of a sudden you convince yourself that he might be a changed man. And another thing you have to consider is you don't see too many players, if any players, former players or current players, saying anything bad about the guy. So if there was players in the locker room saying bad about him, you get to say, oh, you know, maybe we don't want him. Right now, I would not be shocked. I don't know when it would happen, if it would be more towards the draft, if they'd have to pick up at $2.5 million roster bonus. But I wouldn't be shocked 27 to the Raiders, 27 overall.
Okay.
I think anybody would grab that right now and run with it.
So you think they will trade him? Even though Colbert left the door open today, you think it's still a done deal?
Absolutely. He's saying this right now. Like I said about the agenda, he came in to make it absolutely known to the public, to the world, that we're not just going to give this guy away, although what it seemed like on social media, and we have no leverage. I mean, we got leverage of a guy acting like a wacko. We got no leverage of, we know that we don't want to pay him $2.5 million.
Mark,
let's walk this back a little bit and let's try to get something out of him.
Along those lines, let me sneak in one more question here before I let you run. Along those lines, do you buy into the theory that Rosenhaus is behind AB's whack show, that it was a premeditated or orchestrated attempt, much like it worked with T.O.? Get yourself cut, sign a bigger contract with your new team, you get to pick your team. Do you put any credence in the idea that the agent was angling to get A.B. released?
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked, and I would be shocked that it happened sometime during the spring. Maybe not to that degree where, hey, A.B., go on social media, be a pain in the butt, do this, do that. He might have said, Antonio, you have no more guaranteed money. You want me to show you how to get more money? This is what you do. And maybe that – he didn't act like this when there was still that those roster bonuses and stuff that he had the first 2 or 8 years. Now he realizes that, you know, he can be cut at any time and not get that $39 million. Things have changed. And when did that change? When he showed up to OTAs in May and was acting like strange. You're like, well, what's going on? So I wouldn't put it past him. I don't think we'll ever find out unless there's a football life Antonio Brown in about 20 years, but I wouldn't put it past him. Okay. Like I said, I don't think it would be specific of do this, this, that, and another, but I would say that if you want more money, this is how you get it.
Mark, you okay with calling Chris Mulsey, or do you prefer calling him Chris?
Mulsey's a Starkey invention, right?
Yeah.
I try to stay away from anything Starkey related. You know? Although even though, you know, the bird, you know, not the bird toast or whatever he says, I still use the dart reference.
Yes.
That's a very good Starkey reference. I use that all the time.
Anybody get any of those darts today? Colony get a dart?
Oh, listen, I think Colony raised his hand because he was getting shot over by Albion people. So Colony couldn't get a word.
That's odd. Albion's usually following people, not talking over them.
So it got to the point where Colony was getting more and more angry. And I saw his face. And it was near the end, and I swear to you, he stuck his hand up right in front of Kevin like, hey, can I ask a question now?
And what was it? Was it good?
I don't know. I think I was laughing too much to actually pay attention to what he said. I don't have to go back. I'm sure you got that.
Craig, go back to the end of the audio and find that question. We got to play that
it's
on the
near
air.
Near the end. It's the last 5 minutes.
All right.
He raised his hand like he was a second grader.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much for your time, brother. Check him out in The Athletic.
All right.
We'll see you.
We'll see you.
Mark Caboli. We got to get that now, right?
Mark painted a very quick verbal picture, and I can picture
so can
Jim.
Hand up, another
hand
guy.
Hand up.
A Will Graves
hand
question.
Up with that little, like, sneer that he's starting to get kind of
a
angry.
A Jacob Klingler question.
Oh, I think Albie would be the
a
perfect
follow-up
one.
A follow-up by Albie. Ryan Recker.
He's trying to use some decorum, and the TV guys or the younger guys are not, you know,
your
tail
lollies of the world are asking about, you know, backup linebackers.
Tech and A-gaps.
All right. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. So the one development that came out of Colbert that we didn't expect to hear today was the decision to not transition tag Bell. That's because Dulac for months said it was going to happen and he was wrong about it. So we're going to follow up on what Bell, what didn't happen with Le'Veon Bell.
And we have the colony now.
And we have the colony, so even better. We'll be back with more. It's the PM team on the Fan.
He still be in our thinking? Sure. I mean, we'll always continue to monitor everybody out there because we don't know where our market will be, where his will be. And those types of things will still be available to us, but we're not, there will be no tag and no restriction on him from our point.
Kevin Colbert, general manager speak for Le'Veon Bell as a goner. No transition tag, and that had been previously reported that there was a high probability that the Steelers would do it, but the risks outweighed the reward, and they decided today to grant Bell free agency. In the last few minutes, Bell has tweeted, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last." CBS Sports, Jason LaCanfora, saying Bell wants $50 million up front, and the Jets, Eagles, and Bucks are a few teams who could be involved. Chris, now that the Bell thing has reached its end, that his career here is now all but over, do you agree with this fan sentiment? Good riddance?
Nope.
Why?
Especially not in the case of Bell. Because I think Le'Veon Bell, he had a contract dispute and people vilified him for it. I have little faith about the health of James Conner, just because you can go back year to year and find injuries. That's just factual. I still haven't seen anywhere near enough from Jalen Samuels to know exactly what he is supposed to be. Mark Cabalia opined with us 20 minutes ago that they're going to look for a veteran running back out there to mentor these guys. I doubt that you're going to get a guy for the price they'll probably be willing to pay, since they have other needs, and Kevin Colbert said the word needs when he talked about his team, that they're going to get a major impact player. So I'm sad to see somebody that, if he's healthy, is still, I think, one of the best two or three backs in the league, be gone. And in Antonio Brown's case...
But not a position you pay a premium for.
The Rams made it to the Super Bowl paying Todd Gurley a lot of money.
And then once they got there, they had to go with C.J. Anderson.
If he had been fully healthy, because he gutted out through injuries for a couple of weeks, they might have won it. And they were within a score until the very end of that game. You can pay that position big money. You can't really do it when your quarterback's making a ton of money, so they made their value judgment.
Yeah, I don't think the Rams are a tough if the point is the Rams are proof you can pay a running back and make it to the Super Bowl, that's a tough one because he wasn't himself. They pulled a fat guy off the street and he was maybe their best offensive player in the postseason. So I think that one cuts both ways. The cap hit for Gurley didn't kick in this year. So we don't know yet how guaranteeing $45 million is really going to affect the way they construct their roster. I do know that the Patriots have made a living of piecing together a running back position with guys who have a variety of skill sets. In one game, they'll ride Jonas Gray for 3 touchdowns and 200 yards, and the next week he won't get a carry. And that's the way they do things, and yes, they are different. The Steelers do not have Tom Brady, and they don't have Bill Belichick, so that inherently makes them different. But the Eagles did the same thing, and they don't have Brady and Belichick. They had Doug Peterson, and they went running back by committee and beat New England in a Super Bowl. So it's just not a position I want to put a lot of money into. Everything you said about James Conner, I agree with. Like, I'm not advocating that this is something they should have done. This is a year late. This is something they should have done at the end of the 2017 season. They should have let Bell walk. They should have freed up the $14.5 million and used it to find some guys who could actually play defense.
So would you say it's good riddance to both of them? Fine. We agreed that they should have not tried to be prideful and had Bell do what he did. Do you think it's good riddance in the case of these two? Because if you say good riddance, let me be very clear.
On
you
Bell.
Are suggest no on both, because you're saying when it comes to these guys, is it good riddance? You are suggesting,
don't let the door hit you on the way out. Kind
you
of
are
thinking.
Suggesting that things will be better without them. I cannot make that sort of suggestion or prediction, nor would I. I don't think it will be.
Okay. Here's why I think it will be better. I will predict in the next 8 years they will win more than three playoff games. That's the bar for this team.
Okay.
And I feel like even with Roethlisberger,
what if they do it without Roethlisberger and it's in the next 5 years they don't win anything and then with a new quarterback they win?
All right.
Does that somehow disprove what I just said? I doubt it. Because really you're banking on Ben Roethlisberger still as the centerpiece of this team being better without these guys. Because they affect him. They don't affect the defense.
I'm arguing that trying to win with the Todd Haley, we're going to average 30 points a game, and with the Randy Feuchner, we're going to throw at every play offense, does not work. And maybe if you take these weapons away, they won't be so fixated on trying to win that way. Like, it just, to me, is not rational or prudent to give a running back, give one guy, who, by the way, you're right about what you said about Connor. The same thing about availability is true of Bell. In his career, he averaged 11 games a season. That's not good enough. He was either hurt or suspended a lot. I can't guarantee 14 and a half. I can't pay somebody $14 million when you miss more than a quarter of the season on average. So spread out the workload.
His record of staying healthy, while not great, is light years ahead of Connor's so far.
Is it? Connor missed two games.
13, 16, then he had six, then 12, then 15.
And
so
Connor
the total percentage of games he could have played in was 80. He played in 62. Do the quick math there for me. That's something like 77% of games.
Okay, and Connor's missed what? Four games in his career? 2 years? So two games a season? Wouldn't call it great.
He has played in 27 of 32. Okay. So we're not too far off there.
I think if the case for getting rid of Bell is because you think Connor is going to be an all-pro next year is twisted logic. I don't agree with that. But my point is you can do it with
People
committee.
People think they're going to be better without
Do not
these
spend
guys.
A lot of money on the running back.
Be careful. Everyone that's saying good riddance, get ready because it's going to be on the GM to find good players, the defensive coordinator and head coach to coach them up on that side of the ball, and the quarterback to make this offense better without its two most dynamic explosive pieces.
Will the Steelers be better off without Le'Veon Bell? No transition tag. Is washing their hands and saying good riddance the right move? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. If you are a Jim Colony lover, there was a 35-minute media session with Kevin Colbert today. He went 30 minutes without getting a question in, and then he went nuts. He snapped. And you will hear that audio next. It's the PM team on 93.7 The Fan.
The transition number would be it's in excess of $14 million. So that number really would, for what reason would we want to lock ourselves up? Potentially maybe adding someone else. I think the production between James Conner, Jalen Samuel, and Stephen Ridley compared to Le'Veon James and Fitzgerald Toussaint, collectively as a rushing and receiving, it may have been 150 yards different. Le'Veon's still a significant player, but James Conner stepped up and filled a big void for us this year. That's good for him, good for us. Le'Veon will be in high demand because he's still a significant player, although 1 year removed.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Kevin Colbert taking you through the reasons why the Steelers are letting Le'Veon Bell become a free agent. We still don't know if they'll ever get the compensatory pick, which would be in next year's draft at the end of the third round. So a pick that would likely come in the high 90s. It depends on what they do in free agency this year. If they sign a couple of big guys, they won't get anything for Bell.
I would rather that be the case.
Me too.
You?
Yeah, I'd rather have a couple of big free agent items.
Do you think, though, because like when I think of how they like to build their team and their philosophies, I think they would consider that third-round pick, like, oh, man, that's sacred currency.
The best way to do it is to sign guys who get cut for cap reasons.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the compensatory.
Yeah, the Joe Haydens of the world.
Yes.
Right. And
so hope that a couple of those come onto the market here in the next couple of months. and snatch one or two of those guys up.
But you know, we asked John Clayton about that last week, and he didn't necessarily go with any of those names. I wonder if, like, an Andrew Brandt type guy has basically a list of your likely cap casualty.
Well, we'll never find out because 93.7 The Fan burned the Brandt bridge.
Say that three times fast. How did that what?
He went on with the morning guys, and he did such a bad interview, I guess, that they made fun of him afterwards.
So how did that burn the bridge with the whole station?
Because now we're guilty by association.
I don't think there's guilt by association here. I think we're still good.
Bell gone. AB probably gone. More on that in 10 minutes. I put this Twitter poll question out. Talking about lesser of evils. Next year, which team do you think Steelers fans would have the most hatred towards? The New England Patriots, Le'Veon Bell's new team, or Antonio Brown's new team?
New England Patriots. It's an easy answer for me. They just want Le'Veon Bell and Antonio, well, especially Antonio Brown somewhere else. No, they're going to hate the Patriots because the Patriots will definitely be better than them, and you can't guarantee that the two other teams
will
be better than
them. We have watched how this fan base has shifted a little bit on the Patriots, where there's a bit more respect.
Oh, they still hate them.
I'm not saying they don't, but there's more respect than jealousy now, I believe, where fans have done a bit of a 180 on them now. How can you disrespect Belichick for the discipline he instills in his team, Tom Brady's desire to win, wishing that those attributes were attached to maybe, say, this coach or this organization a little bit more, run a tight ship. This team is the exact opposite of that. It would gall people. They've watched the confetti rain down on Belichick and Brady over and over again. If Antonio Brown is on that podium next year getting a Super Bowl trophy or the Lombardi trophy or the MVP award, people here will vomit.
What if it's as a member of the Patriots?
Then that's doubly bad. That would be like the worst case scenario by far. But that's not going to happen. They won't trade him to New England.
Well, Kevin Colbert in there said if it was to a rival team and they made a great offer, he would. That was part of his
remarks. Yeah, we'll parse through that. We'll play that clip back and put our BS meter on and see if we believe Kevin or not.
I spoiled the lead a little bit there. That was just one small part of
it. You want to make up for it right now? Earlier in the show, we had Mark Caboli on from The Athletic.
Yes, we did.
And he was part of the Colbert Q&A today.
Yes, he was.
So was Jim Colony. But there was a major problem. Colony couldn't get a question in. Blocked by Bouchette, Jeremy Fowler.
Do you know what Colony
Will Graves,
would do in that situation? Because he would get so annoyed.
Instead
of just plowing through his question and just getting it out there, because it's that little time in the first second and a half where you just got to keep talking, he would stop talking and just get progressively angrier.
This went on for a good half hour. So Caboli set it up like this.
Listen, I think Colony raised his hand because he was getting shouted over by Albie and people. So Colony couldn't get a word.
That's odd. Albie's usually following people, not talking over them.
So it got to the point where Colony was getting more and more angry. And I saw his face, and it was near the end, and I swear to you, he stuck his hand up right in front of Kevin like, hey, can I ask a question now?
Okay. So that's the setup. We've all seen that angry Colony face. He gets red. He has that
like
obvious
half muttering.
He's sighing. He's like, oh.
He looks very obviously exasperated.
So then Colony took matters into his own hands.
So those things will continue to unfold throughout the spring.
You have to make it
Kevin, how did AB go from being, not necessarily he was ever humble, but from being like a six-round pick, hardest working guy on the team, to all of a sudden feeling entitled? And do you guys bear any responsibility with that, like things that he was allowed to do that maybe some of his teammates weren't, like video guys on the sidelines and that sort of thing?
Okay.
Actually like the question.
Oh, you do? That's what I was going to ask. He waited 30 seconds to get a question in. Was it worth it?
Yeah, I think that was a good pointed question. Don't you?
Do you feel like it was a longer question? He used more words.
Yeah,
because
I
felt like
he
had been left out.
No, I don't think he asked a longer question because
he
was entitled to it. I think he
don't know
asked
about
the
entitled,
question
but
as
he
it
wanted,
needed to be asked.
He wanted his time.
I thought it was a good question, man.
Craig?
I'm glad he asked it.
I liked it. It's a question I would expect from Colony.
Because it forces Colbert to either absolve Mike Tomlin of any blame or tacitly lay some at the feet of Mike Tomlin.
Do you think in Colbert's head, as the question was being asked, he was thinking to himself, this is a really good question?
I think he was on like a high alert, like I have to be very careful about
this.
Do
you think Colbert respects Colony?
Yes. I think he respects him more than most of the people in that room that were there.
And I think it has a lot to do with their bonding moments in friendship form from up in Latrobe.
Colony
nights together watching Pirates games.
He's an everyman. Colony's an everyman, and so is Kevin Colbert.
Natty Lights shared.
When you talk about those guys, I think you go salt of the earth, good guys. Kind of, I think I know this about Colony because I have done this, but I think you say it about both men, the kind of guy you'd want to have a beer with.
Do you think Kevin Colbert freely curses and uses loose language around Colony?
I think things are a little peppery.
Will Colbert spill the beans about the organization in front of Colony, knowing that Jim will keep those
that
thoughts
Jim's
to
the
himself?
Vault?
Yes.
I think Kevin Colbert would or will say more around Jim than he would around most media members, knowing that Jim is a vault.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Route 19 in McMurray, 36 degrees right now. Some light showers later on tonight, better than the snow we had this morning. Check them out, Sun Chevy and McMurray. Coming up next, what Kevin Colbert said about Antonio Brown's trade possibilities. When it will happen, what it will take to trade him. Colbert was more open than he's ever been on Antonio Brown's future. Audio you can only hear on The Fan this afternoon. Coming up next is the PM team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.